Genesis 32. Now, we just read in Genesis 31 how Jacob and his family run away from Laban, but he catches up with them, and he doesn't hurt them or kill them, although he could have done, but instead he makes them make an agreement, and they draw, as it were, a line. And they say that they agree that Jacob will not come back over that line. And God has said to Jacob, go back to your father, and I will be with you. Well, so Jacob can't go back. He can only go forward. And Jacob went on his way, and he's going to meet Esau. He's going to meet Esau, his brother, who he deceived out of his birthright. And he ran away from him because Esau was going to kill him. So Jacob is forced into a position where all he can do is to throw himself upon God. And this is often what we come to, situations in life where we can't do anything apart from to throw ourselves upon God for his help. So Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. When he saw them, Jacob said, this is God's army. He called the name of that place Mahanaim, which means two camps, two armies. There was like his army, and there was God's army. So wherever we are, God is on our side, and his angels are up there in heaven and also working here on earth for us. Jacob sent messengers in front of him to Esau, his brother, to the land of Seir, the field of Edom. He commanded them, saying, this is what you shall tell my lord Esau. This is what your servant Jacob says. I've lived as a foreigner with Laban and stayed until now. So you see, all the time, Abraham and Jacob, they lived as if they were foreigners. They were always on the move. And so in the New Testament, we're told that we also don't have any continuing city here, but that we also are always on the move towards God's kingdom. And he said, I have got cattle, donkeys, flocks, male servants and female servants, and I've sent to tell my Lord that I may find favor in your eyes. The messengers returned to Jacob, saying, we came to your brother Esau, but he's coming to meet you and 400 men with him. Jacob was greatly afraid and was distressed because, you see, he couldn't go back towards Laban. He'd made that agreement that if he went back, then Laban was going to kill him. And so he could only go forward, and now Esau's coming with 400 men. So he divided the people who were with him and the flocks and the herds and the camels into two camps. If Esau comes to the one company and strikes it, then the company which is left will escape. Jacob said, God of my father Abraham, God of my father Isaac, Yahweh, who said to me, return to your country and to your relatives, and I will do you good. So he's reminding himself of how God promised, go home and I will do you good. And he's saying, how is this good for me? It looks like I'm going to die, or I'm going to lose an awful lot of what I've got. And it's the same with us. We struggle at times to believe the simple truth that God is love. But he is. So he goes on, I'm not worthy of the least of all the loving kindness and of all the truth which you've shown to your servant. For with just my staff I passed over this Jordan River, and now I've become two companies. Please deliver me from the hand of my brother Esau, for I fear him, lest he come and strike me and the mothers with the children. You said, I will surely do you good and make your seed as the sand of the sea, which can't be numbered because there are so many. He stayed there that night and took from that which he had with him a present for Esau, his brother, 200 female goats and 20 male goats, 200 ewes and 20 rams, 30 milk camels and their colts, 40 cows, 10 bulls, 20 female donkeys and 10 foals. He delivered them into the hands of his servants, every herd by itself, and said to his servants, pass over before me and put a space between herd and herd. He commanded the foremost, saying, when Esau my brother meets you and asks you, saying, whose are you? Where are you going? Whose are these before you? Then you shall say, they are your servant Jacob's. It's a present sent to my lord Esau. Behold, he is also behind us. Now he keeps calling Esau my lord, and he keeps saying, I'm just your servant. Now, Isaac had blessed Jacob and said, you will be lord over your brothers, and they will be your servants. So it's as if he's saying, well, I know I deceived you and I deceived my father and I lied to try to get this blessing from Isaac, but you know, I don't want it. I don't want to be the great master. You can be the master. I'll just be the servant. And often you find that what you dream about getting most in life, be it, I so want that remote controlled car. Ah, if only I had that house. If only I had that car. When you actually get it, you then come to a point where you realize, I don't really want this. And as we're going to see, the one important thing that Jacob really wanted was to be right with God. What Jacob was thinking was that I will appease him with the present that goes before me, and afterward I'll see his face. Perhaps then he'll accept me. So the present passed over before him, and Jacob himself lodged that night in the camp. He got up that night and took his two wives and his two handmaids and his 11 sons and passed over the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them over the stream and sent over that which he had. Jacob was left alone and wrestled with a man there until the breaking of the day. When he saw that he didn't prevail against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was strained as he wrestled. The man said, "Let me go, for the day breaks." Jacob said, "I won't let you go unless you bless me." He said to him, "What is your name?" He said, "Jacob." He said, "Your name will no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have fought with God and with men and have prevailed." Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." He said, "Why is it that you ask what my name is?" He blessed him there. Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for he said, "I have seen God face to face and my life is preserved." So this is understood in Hosea, when we read about this in Hosea, that Jacob had power over an angel by his prayers. So this angel wrestled with Jacob, and they fought together, and then Jacob gets him to bless him. And I think it was just a sort of a story, really, not a story, but an acted parable of how Jacob, in prayer, had struggled with God. "Please, please, please bless me." And although he had struggled against God, he had not done what was right very often. Yet, in the end, God allowed him to win, as it were, and gave him this blessing. And the blessing which he got was the blessing of forgiveness, because that is what the greatest blessing is. As you read on in the Bible, you see this connection between blessing and forgiveness. And so the sun rose on Jacob as he left Peniel, and he limped because of his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel don't eat the sinew of the hip to this day, because the angel touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew of the hip. So Jacob limped for the rest of his life, and that was to remind him that he had tried to do things in his own strength, but he couldn't do it in his own strength. And therefore he was given this, rather like Paul was given a thorn in the flesh to remind him that God's grace was enough for him.